We continue the shir in Sichei Sedan, the wise sayings of the Bein Hazal. We're now at paragraph Tif Lamed Ches 38. Bein Hazal says on the pasuk Shatu Bashamayim Pihim Udeshenam Tihalach Boetz, which means literally they have turned their mouths against heaven and their tongues speak against earth. Bein Hazal explains this statement, something which is much more prevalent today than ever before. And it answers a lot of questions, too, about a certain type of people. There are people who are inclined to disbelieve, to criticize the Torah, Chas V'Sholom, to speak against heaven, but they are ashamed to say so. They're ashamed to speak against heaven. When we say heaven, of course, you mean Hashem. They're ashamed to go that far. It's embarrassing for them, though they would like to. What do they do instead? They turn their anger, they turn their venom against the leading Talmidei Chachamim Tzaddikim on earth, because they know these Tzaddikim are representatives of Hashem. They speak very evilly, basely, against those who learned Torah, Talmidei Chachamim, and they criticize them, they say evil words about them, Loshon Hara, Metzi Shemna, but in reality, their motive is to speak against heaven. Now, this is something which we find today very much so. About this, there is another pasuk that's mentioned very often, where we can work this in reverse. Bais Hazal says, if you see a person speaking against the tzaddik, and apply the pasuk Sholach Yodo Bishleimo, if one stretches out his hand against the tzaddik, or his tongue, same thing, he strikes with his tongue, evil word, Chilel Berisai. Know that this person is a Mechalal Bris. This person has gone against the treaty with Hashem. This person is a Mechulo. This person is a Ishtomi. But he speaks against the Tzaddik, meaning his intentions are to go against Hashem. What does he gain by it? Naturally, nothing at all. He fulfills an evil desire, a venomous desire that's the same as a snake. If the Gemara says a snake has no pleasure in killing, no pleasure in killing a person, for example, he doesn't eat that person. He strikes, he injects his venom, and that's it. Or if a snake even would kill an animal, swallow the animal, a giant-sized snake, a python, still, there's no pleasure in that food because the snake's food, after the snake, the serpent was cursed, the snake's food is earth alone. Why does he kill? For no reason at all. Because he is a snake, because he's venomous. And that's why these people, too, get really no pleasure in it. They get no profit in speaking against tzaddikim because they have a snake-like nature. More about this later. It's just important to note, though, the Bein Hazal says to be wary of them, to know that these are not ordinary critics, Bible critics or critics of Talmidei Chachamim. They're actually the full sense of the word atheists. Bein Hazal says now it's important, the next paragraph is important for a person to have a good heart. Person is blessed with a heart, to use that heart. The heart is made to feel with. The person's feelings are experienced within his heart. So if a person knows that someone is suffering, another human being is suffering, he is supposed to join in that suffering. Just like when you have a close friend of yours is making a simcha, you feel happy for his sake. You join in that simcha. So too should a person with a good heart feel the pain and suffering of another human being. A kol shekein, surely, if there is a whole group or a whole city or the entire Jewish nation is suffering, chas v'sholom, and surely those who are not actually suffering should feel the pain and suffering of their fellow Jews. And this, the Bein Hazal says, as a pasuk, Bein Hazal, this refers to the person should hit his head against the wall. It's a saying, bang your head against the wall. This refers to, in this case, a person should bang his head against the wall. What does that mean? It means the head is the thought. The wall is the heart. Kidos Halev. We find the case of Cheskio HaMelech. King Cheskio is very ill. The prophet Yeshayahu told him he's going to die. Then he told the prophet to leave and said to him, I have information that a Jew should never give up hope. Even if I am destined to die, it's the decree of heaven, I can turn to Hashem and tefillah and prayer and destroy that heavenly decree. But what does the pasuk say? He turned his face to the wall. Vayasev haskel ponav el akir. He turned his face to the wall. Ponim lakir. That's exactly what Ben-Azal says. The head against the wall. Ponim, pinim, literally means inside. The depth, the inside. What is the inner depth of a person? The machshava. The thoughts of a person in his mind. He turned his inner thoughts to the wall. Kidais halev, the walls of the heart. He bound these together. The heart is the seat of emotion. And with this emotion, he then gave in to powerful tefillah, to prayer, to daven, and this is what saved him. The scale of Melech's life was saved then. Hashem said, I heard your prayers, and I have prolonged, I have lengthened your life. This is what a person is supposed to do. He's supposed to feel the suffering of others, use his mind, combine it with his heart, think, feel about the suffering of others. If you feel along with them, you'll daven with them. You'll daven with much more kavanah. And by an increased power of tefillah, larger numbers davening, surely whatever harsh decree there is against Jews, or even against one individual, can be nullified in heaven through the power of tefillah. Rabbi Ben-Azal says we come to a topic which has been discussed many times before, but which requires still more discussion, much more discussion. Topic of Emunah, faith in Hashem, naturally means simple, pure faith. Simple faith means without asking questions. The opposite of this is what's known as Mechakrim, or philosophers. Philosophers who do ask questions. They go in depth on the topic of faith, and that is a faith, they question items that should not even be discussed. They question details about Hashem. Hashem was far above our conception. He wants to know about Hashem. And this, of course, causes a lot of damage, a lot of harm. Ben-Azal says that even if this is done by the leaders of the Jews, leader Chachamim, important holy leaders of the past, who wrote books on philosophy, those books are forbidden for a Jew to look into, because the Jew can do much more harm to himself by reading them than whatever he can gain from there. A Jew is supposed to have simple faith, to believe simply that Hashem created the world. Hashem knows what he did, knows what he's doing. Hashem supervises everything, and that's sufficient for us. We have to serve Hashem without delving into these secret reasons, heavenly reasons which we could never achieve anyhow. Now, the nature of these books of philosophy, it is best, of course, that we don't even discuss them. Yet the Ben-Azal does to show us a few examples. And since Ben-Azal did, then we could mention these points, but not to go any further. The nature of these books of philosophy is, what is the harm in their writings? They have a nature of asking questions, very difficult questions, very deep questions, and then they come up with the answers. They're supposed to mean well. They ask a deep question, perplexing question, then they come up with an answer to this question. The question is a very difficult one. The answer is a very weak one. It is so weak that an ordinary person could easily disprove this answer. And what is he left with? He's now filled his mind with this dangerous question about faith. What has he gained? The answer is gone. The question remains. He could not answer the question himself. Now, in his mind, there is a germ of doubt, a question which doesn't belong there, a question about faith, which he shouldn't have entered into in the first place. In truth, Ben-Azal says, these questions are really nothing. They are meaningless, because there is no question about faith, about Hashem. But written by these philosophers, they appear as very difficult questions, and they do their harm. How about these people? There are people who have a tendency, they're drawn, magnetized towards these books of philosophy, towards these topics of philosophy. They seem to have a taiva, a desire to go into this more than any other type of learning. Why is that so? What do they refuse, reject? An example is Zayi HaKadosh, the Kisvei Arizal, the writings of the great Tzaddikim, the recent past, why do they turn to these books of philosophy, which have no real value in Emunah, and which cause so much damage to a Jew, to a Jew's faith? The answer is, very sadly, that these people are basically evil. Basically means they are actually born evil. They are born with two strikes against them. It is possible for a person to be born with an evil heart, an evil mind, instead of good, and naturally, being evil, he's drawn to his own kind. He's drawn to evil. Now, this means, then, he's given less of a chance than a second person? The answer is yes, he's less of a chance, but the door is not closed to him. He has the responsibility of overcoming this innate evil nature. He does have the power of overcoming it, though it's much more difficult than a different person, but he could overcome it if he wants to. It's difficult, but it could be done, and it's his task to defeat this evil nature within him and to emerge victorious with a new type of nature, one that is pure. A very few, of course, very, very few who are successful. Because once a person has this nature that is drawn to philosophy, it's very difficult to tear him away from it. You find very few cases where a person does cannot. Yeror itself tells us that this is like a death sentence. Why is this person inflicted with this evil nature? It is obviously clear because of something in his past life. He had done, accumulated so much evil that in order to be able to achieve afterwards Gan Eden, any reward, you must go through a very severe test. Severe test is to be reborn, reincarnated, to come to life again with this type of evil nature. True, that is very difficult for him, extremely difficult, but if he comes out, if he goes into battle and wins out, fine. He's able to erase past evils and to join with those who are good. If not, then he's lost. But at least this proves, Abedal says, that no matter what kind of a nature a person has, he was sent to this world only because he is given that chance. So if his eyes could just be opened up, he could begin to understand, to see. He could begin to see that he's here with that purpose of being given this opportunity to return, to come back to Hashem when he has wandered for who knows how long before, previously. This person, if he could be enlightened, is one of the greatest mitzvahs possible. But who can undertake this task? The Gemara itself says, when the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos tells us, Da, Ashatosh Vabikurtis, know what to reply to an atheist. Know enough about Teda to be able to reply to an atheist. The Gemara says this refers only to a Goy, a non-Jewish atheist. But if you find a Jewish atheist, then it's practically impossible, or just about impossible, the Gemara says, to sway him. If you talk to him, he'll much more likely sway you, take and trap you and snare you into his way of thinking, Chas Hashem. Therefore, the Gemara says, do not even begin to speak to a person like that. There are certain tzaddikim amitiyim who do have that power to bring this person close, but because of this, again, it's up to the person himself. No matter how bad he is, no matter how far he is sunk into this kafina, this atheism, this abikursus, he is still able to save himself. It's difficult, but it's possible. So a person who is awakened to that thought, who would at least someday, sometime, open his eyes and read a word of the Benazal Sefer, that one word could be his salvation. And it has happened. Benazal's greatest miracles are those of spiritual Tchias HaMeisim, where he took those who were practically dead. A person like that is spiritually dead, in a sense. And to bring that person out of this death stage, to rejuvenate it, bring it back to life, life means the real faith, Emunah Eschayim, that person can become really, truly, fully alive again through this drop that he receives, medicine receives from the Tzadikimus. Velel says, though, that this fact that these people who have this nature of evil, they are the ones that choose to turn to their type of books, their type of reading, philosophy books, and the poison that comes from them. Therefore, a person should avoid studying these books of philosophy and speaking to those who study them also. Never has a show to attend a class where these books are taught or a class by one who deals with this topic. Benazol says now, for example, one of the questions asked in their books is, why was it that one individual, one certain one, was created by Hashem as an angel? An angel is free. He has no evil desire or evil inclination. He has no problems of earning a livelihood. He has no worries. And he has wings. He flies at will to the upper heavens, while the second one is born human being with all the suffering that goes with it. Why this one angel, this one human? To go further, why was one part of a unit created as the head, second one as the foot? Why did this part have to suffer to be created as a foot to carry the rest of the body, and the top of the body is the head? Just looking at the unit itself, this part of the body, why was it zeche? What privilege did it have to become a head and a foot? Of course, you could say there has to be a head, there has to be a foot. You need both. Fine, but why one was made, chosen as the head, one as the foot? These are some of the questions they ask. And of course, the Benazol says that these questions are nothing. They don't even require an answer because of the fact that, very simply, simplest answer is that this is what Hashem did, and Hashem knows what he did and why he did it. Now, the Benazol says, if you would know why it's done, if you would know Hashem's reasons, you would know Hashem's motives, you would be Hashem. Since you are not Hashem, you don't know Hashem's reasons and Hashem's depth, and therefore, don't try, don't attempt it. And it says, though, as far as this singular item goes, to explain a little, just a drop to explain the answer to this question. The fact is that the entire creation could be compared to a dreidel, the dreidel that's used to spin a Hanukkah. This dreidel, everything spins. There are letters on this dreidel. Letters are Nun, Gimel, He, Shin. This refers to Hanukkah. The simple interpretation of these letters are Nes, Gadol, HaYoshom. A great miracle occurred there at that time, during the miracle of Hanukkah. That's the simple one for children. However, since the fact is that all of creation is like a dreidel, Niman, these four letters refer to the creation itself. By creation, there are three kinds of creation. One, the Nun, stands for Nivdolim. Nivdolim means that which is separated from Gashmius. It's all spiritual. The angels, first part of creation, you have only a spirit, nothing physical at all. Then you have the Galgalim. The Gimel is the Galgalim, which means in the universe itself, the upper part of the universe, the stars, parts of the heaven, our heaven, the physical heaven, which is not spiritual anymore, but is still much more delicate than what we call material, simple material, earthly. True that, as the Gemara says, that everything is made of offer, even Galgal Chama. The sun itself is a mass of material, yet it's in a more delicate sense. It's not material mass like the earth is. The Galgalim, which of course refers to something higher than the sun, the moon, or the planets, refers to the signs of the zodiac. The Marzolos, the Galgalim, these are astrological figures which represent the stars in their orbit around the earth, and these are not spiritual, yet they are not fully material. In between. Finally, we have the Shofar. The Shin is the Shofar, which means the very lowly material world that we are in, and this is filled with Gashmius, material. Though these are all three different levels of creation, in origin, the origin is one. The origin of these three is one, because they all come from one origin of creation, and like a dreidel, they spin. Spinning means that sometimes you see an angel, you see a human, you see an upper part of creation, a lower part of creation. These keep changing. We can't see it now because it takes a long time. But there is this, we hate to use this possible word, evolution, as we've shown, but the movement, the motion, or revolution, let's say, the spinning revolution, where sometimes that which is above goes below. Below goes above. For example, we find that an angel can become a person. We find in the first chapter of the Torah that angels came down to earth and materialized into human beings and remained on earth. We find there is Elyonim Lamata. Above came below. We find, too, that there are cases of those going above. Zohar Kodesh says that certain people were taken up from earth and became angels. Chalech, for example. Chalech disappeared, it says, went to heaven, became an angel. He was, of course, the Malach Mentes. Or evil. Rav Shimon Choyzal told his son that when you leave the world, when you're nostalgic, you're going to have a new name in heaven, the name of an angel. You become an angel. So we find that it is possible for persons to become angels. Of course, the Zohar Kodesh stresses, the Rizal says that who is greater, an angel or a tzaddik? A tzaddik is greater. So how can you say that a tzaddik is nostalgic and becomes an angel? The answer is that an angel greater than a person while the person is alive. But when that person is a tzaddik and he's nostalgic and becomes an angel, he is a higher angel than those who were angels previously. Very important item to remember in case you meet angels later on, you know who you're meeting. Now, Abinadol says that we find too that speaking about a head, a foot, top, bottom, it's not always top and bottom. Because sometimes you can have where the bottom could be higher than the top. For example, to go into the basic rules of Kabbalah, we have four different levels of creation, four different worlds. First world, this lowest world is called Elam HaAsiya, material world. Above you have Elam HaYetzira, a world of the angels, Elam HaBriya, and so forth. Elam HaTzila is the highest world. This world, the head of this world, which means the highest sphera of this lowest world, the highest, that's the head, the crown of this world, the Keser, is lower than the Malchus of the next world. Malchus is the foot, the bottom of the next world. A case where a head is lower than a foot. And so, and this is just a small few explanations. Then it says we find this more clearly understood when we turn to the Beis HaMikdash. The Holy Temple, we find the dreidel there much more clearly elaborated. The Beis HaMikdash, you have something which defies scientific or philosophical explanation. You find there upper ones below, lower ones above. Something which is impossible to explain from a scientific viewpoint. We have, for example, the Pasuk says, is there any item that can contain the Spirit of Hashem? The Spirit of Hashem is greater in size than all of the creation, all of the worlds, lower worlds, heavenly worlds, and so forth. And yet we find that this tiny room, the Holy Temple, the Holy of Holies, is where the Spirit of Hashem rested. That is the abode of the Spirit of Hashem. Yenim, the heavenly, the above, came down below, confined in this small place below. Those below have risen above. What is the lowest thing on earth? The animal life. An animal was taken, placed on the altar on the Mizbeach, sacrificed to Hashem, and his Eila Reach Nichlech. It goes up to Hashem with an item that is accepted by Hashem way above in the upper worlds. You have the Ketanis, for instance. The Ketanis is spices. It's going still lower than an animal. And these spices are so great and so holy. The word Ketanis means to bind. It binds the lowest world, Asiya, with Atzilus. So great is the sacrifice of Ketanis. So he has to mean it's so low here, spices that can rise up above the world of angels, above the throne of Hashem. In the Beis Mikdash, you find this combination of Galienim Lamata, Tachten Lamar. Now, there is a fourth item in creation. This fourth item is called, say, sort of a hidden topic. Recently, it's being discussed more often because there's a spread, a rash of classes in Kabbalah going around now. It's sort of these modern fad, people learning Kabbalah from cradle on. This, one of the main topics that is an item called the Koyach Hayuli. Koyach Hayuli means the intermediate power. Intermediate means there is that which is created, that's the Nivrah, and the Bede, the Creator. In between you have intermediate between the Creator and the created, this power that goes from one to the other and creates. Or the space between a theory and practice, thought and action. To translate thought into action, it's not just thought going into action. There must be an intermediate power. It's Koyach Avhiyul. This Koyach Hayuli is what the other three come from. We said there are three kinds of creation. The Nivdal, the angels, the Galgal, intermediate ones, and the Shuffle, this low world. The middle one, the one that they come from, is Hiuli, the one they derive from. We now have the four letters on the dreidel. Nun Gimel Hei Shin. Nun Gimel Shin is Nivdo Galgal Shuffle. Hey is Hiuli. The fact that the dreidel spins shows that this spins, and sometimes the upper one is below. The malach becomes a person, the person becomes a malach. The head is considered a foot. It's a lower level, and so on. This is something which we find in the Beis HaMikdash. The Holy Temple was a symbol of this. There we said we found how the upper ones come below. The Shekhinah comes down, and the animal life, or the vegetation, plant life, spices go upwards. This is found in that word, Nun Gimel Shin Hei, which is symbolized too. This refers to the Beis HaMikdash, refers to the future, the coming of Mashiach. That's why the Pasuk says that Yaakov Avinu, Rizal says when it says that Yaakov Avinu sent his son. Before going into Egypt, he sent one son ahead to open up a yeshiva. Yes, Yehuda, Sholach Lafonav Gishna. He sent Yehuda in front of him before Gishna, Gishna Gimel Shin Nun Hei, the same four letters, to what? Open a yeshiva of learning, referring to the Beis HaMikdash. Why Yehuda? Because Yehuda stands for King David. Stands for the future Moshiach. Moshiach comes from Yehuda. He was sent ahead, Gishna, to build the symbol of the Beis HaMikdash. And that's why these letters to refer to the Osset, the future. Because Gishna, Begimetria, Moshiach. These four letters refer to Moshiach, the future when all this will be proven that the origin is one. The entire origin of creation has a motive, a purpose to reach the goal, which is the coming of Mashiach. Es Nun Gimel Hei Shin, Nes Gadol Hoyosham, where? There, in the Beis HaMikdash, with the coming of Mashiach. And therefore, the Baal says that when the Jews left Mitzrayim, they were told immediately, you leave Egypt, you're going to the sake of Geula. Why are you going? Because you redeemed your people. As the first letters are, again, Nun Gimel Hei Shin, purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim was the Geula Shleima, to reach Eretz Yisrael, to build a Beis HaMikdash, the Yosef Lama. This Rabbi Elazar said, as a very light, just touching upon his point, to show that their questions are meaningless and void. Now, there is much more could be said about it, but that should not be said about it. Because the Rebbeinu Zalman always taught, do not seek to answer these questions logically. If you seek to answer them logically, you'll be drawn into this trap. Chas v'shalom, best thing is for a Jew to be very pure and simple in his emunah. A person's life is dependent upon his emunah. And life does not mean physical life here. That's temporary. Life means eternal life. Life in Olam Haba, life forever afterwards, is only if a person has that solid emunah which sustains him throughout. That's the key to life for the neshama. The key then is the person to strengthen himself with emunah, and with that he will live forever. Beinazar says now, one of the most important items that Beinazar kept on stressing was his prejudice. Prejudice means for a person to bind himself, to come close to Hashem, through private tefillah, private prayer. A person should always, daily, take time out, in addition to the regular tefillah, to speak to Hashem, to pour out his heart to Hashem, and to very openly and frankly express his feelings before Hashem, express his regrets over his wrong deeds, and to frankly and sincerely ask Hashem for assistance to help him serve Hashem better. Now, in davening, a person davens with kavona. He goes one step higher than tefillah. He reaches a point where he actually cries, bechiyah, crying, tears. And this means that he has a broken heart. Because of Hashem, a broken heart, he wants to pour out his heart. His heart is broken because of the fact that he feels a sense of guilt, sorrow. Two kinds of broken hearts. Two kinds of regret or a low feeling. One is called a lev nishbar, a person's heart is broken. He feels deeply sorry for what he did, but his sorrow, his broken heart, is due to a sense of desire, craving desire to come close to Hashem. And therefore he cries in that cry, in the cry, the very center of that cry, the core, there is simcha, there is happiness inside. Whereas another kind of broken heart is due to atzvus, chas v'shalom, sadness, a depressed state of mind, where a person feels very low, a bad mood, where it's difficult for him to think clearly. And this kind of atzvus, sad, depressed state of mind, is the opposite of lev nishba, a broken heart. This atzvus, Benedel says, comes not from the heart, but from the techel, that's the spleen. The heart feels. The heart feels happiness. The heart feels sadness. That's a healthy kind of a broken heart. Person expresses his sorrow, his remorse over his sins before Hashem. Or he cries to Hashem to be helped. But the atzvus, the sadness that comes from the person's techel, his spleen, that atzvus is a destructive type of sadness. That's more of shchaida, bitter feeling. And this Hashem despises. Word of the Hashem despises this. Why? Because the techel, according to the Zayde Kodesh, is the seat of the Samach Mem, that's the Satan. Satan is the angel of the evil who has one that's worse than him. The Satan's nukva, his partner, his mate, is even worse than the Satan himself. The female part of the Satan is more dangerous and more destructive than the Satan. And where is this female part of the Satan found? Which organ of the body represents this? The techel, the spleen. We can understand why Abeno says that this atzvus comes from the spleen, because that's where they look for a keva of the samach mem, the satan is. But a broken heart, a pure broken heart, is something that Hashem likes very much, and therefore it would be fit for a person to devote his entire day, the entire time, to cry before Hashem, to speak to Hashem, with a broken heart, cry to Hashem. This will be very good, but the main answer is very dangerous, because if a person has a broken heart for too long a period of time, it could lead to a depressed state of mind. Therefore, being dangerous, a person should have that broken heart state of mind for a short period of time, or approximately 1 hour a day, and the rest of the day to be besimcha ruach, constantly. This refers again to the topic of his bitterness. Bitterness is a person that comes before Hashem, cries to Hashem for assistance, pours out his heart again to Hashem. That's why the man of the person who has his bitterness for 1 hour a day, that hour to have a broken heart, and the rest of the day entirely, should be filled with simcha only. Nothing should allow a person to fall victim to this atzvus. A person should say that he's in a bad mood, a sad mood, a grouchy mood, a depressed state of mind, where he needs psychiatric treatment. That person has been bitten by the serpent. The bite of the serpent, the very first serpent that caused the downfall of Adam and Chava temporarily, who brought death to the world, that Nochash, who became, put on the mantle, the cloak of the angel of death. Nochash plus one is Satan. Nochash became the Satan, who is the angel of death. What is the bite of that Nochash? What kind of poison does he have in his fangs? Atzvus. The bites, it brings Atzvus, depressed state of mind to a person, this melancholy state of mind, which is the poison of this serpent. Abinadab says a person should be very careful, very wary, not to allow himself to be bitten. He's supposed to be besimcha at all times, and it is certainly wrong, criminal his part, now to have this atzvus after having this advice by Abinadab. Especially one who has received this advice, the key, we speak always of the key of Abinadab's talmidim, asked by anyone, are you close to Abinadab? You have a munah b'nezor. The answer should be, yes, I am b'simcha. If a person is not b'simcha, it shows a definite trend away from emunah l'tzadik emes, chas v'shalom. The opposite being, of course, close to the satan, to the nochash, to the serpent. Peyel says that we can detect the difference. They seem to be very similar. Atzvus, sadness, melancholy, or a broken heart. We can detect the difference because atzvus is like a person who is very angry and a bad-tempered, complaining. When he davens with atzvus, he complains to Hashem, why should this happen to me? Why should I be suffering? With a plaintive tone of voice. Whereas the lev nishbor, a broken heart, one who cries with sincerity is like a child coming to his father and begging his father to overlook his foolish deeds. He did something that his father didn't like, and he comes to his father crying before his father with a love for his father. Take me back to God. I did something foolish. I'm sorry. I regret what I did. This is the same feeling a person should have to Hashem when he davens to Hashem. This is the true Lev Nishbar as different from Atzvos. Meinel said that through Rumona Shcheida, Atzvos, through this depressed state of mind, the person can actually not know his own name. He can lose his name. What is meant by this? A person who dies does not know his name. It's brought that the first question asked the person after death is first brought to trial. The angels who bring him, inject a feeling of terror in him, ask him quickly, what is your name? He becomes so terrified, he forgets his name. Why does he forget it? Because he's dead. Dead means atzvos, sadness. So that the fact that he is sad makes him forget his name. Therefore, a person, too, who does not have the simcha in him, is as though he has forgotten his name, doesn't know his name. This was said by the Ben Hazal, the light vein, but there's a lot of depth to it. Next paragraph will have more about this topic. Here the Ben Hazal stresses again, the item of simcha is so important that simcha can actually bring a person to life. One who was on the verge of death, we brought back to life from simcha. You see a person who is very sad and who is so sad that he's completely dejected. He is embittered. He refuses to continue living because of his bitterness or suffering. If you bring simcha to him, liven this person up, make him happy, you brought new life to the person. This is the same as literally bringing a dead person to life. Because there are some people who are so filled with so much suffering, there's so much worries and so much wrong things that happen to them, bad things, sad items, that it's difficult for them to ever really feel happy. Now, if they have someone come to them with encouragement, with light talk, with talk of ischaskus, to give them a new life and to bring them words of encouragement from Tadev Tzadikim to them, this means new life. How valuable is this? The Ben Hazal quotes the Gemara. One of the rabbis once met Eliyahu Navi in the marketplace. He said to Eliyahu Navi, in this large area here, there are so many people around. Can you point out anyone who's definitely going to go to Gan Eden? Eliyahu Navi said, of all the people here, a lot of good people too, but definitely I can only point to two people. This rabbi ran to these two people. When I asked them, they looked same as any other ones. He asked them, what do you do? What does your greatness consist of? They said, very ordinary. Are you great scholars in Taita? They said, not any better than anybody else. Perhaps they were less. So he said to them, well, describe your actions. It must be something you did that's wonderful. They said, nothing, just that our custom is, we go through, wherever we go, we find people who are very sad. We start telling them jokes, light items. We do things that are comical to bring a happiness or a smile to their lips. We raise their spirits, we bring simcha to them, and they're a changed person. This brings life to them. Of course, it's like taking a dead person, bringing to life. Therefore, the Gemara says, these two batchi, they were called jokers, were zecher to eternal life in Gan Eden. The reward for bringing life to those who were like dead was they got a guarantee of eternal life. The Ben Hazal says, so important is this mitzvah of bringing simcha to others, no matter how you do it, like what method you use, whether you use by telling jokes, of course, ones that are not tainted, clean ones, good ones, pure ones, or by simply smiling and making that smile contagious to bring simcha to another person, by injecting simcha to a person, by giving words of encouragement, by belittling the suffering of that person, showing that it's not as bad as he thinks, persuading him, convincing him that times will improve, above all, that the person should know that there is reason for simcha because there is bitochen, there is emuna, have faith that everything that happens for the good, it's all the act of Hashem for your good, and that the future definitely be very good because if a person suffers now, there certainly is a happier future in store for him. A person who does that to others is performing a mitzvah of bringing new life to a Jew, and his reward is eternal life. We should be zecher to fulfill the advice, the etzes of Rabbeinu Zal, to have hispedidus every day and to be besimcha always. This simcha should spread among all of us, among all the Jews. We should be zecher to the simcha polius with coming of Moshiach Kenu, we should see the building of the Amen. Amen.